rallies. They held rallies.
Good afternoon. We are breaking into programming here today on this Saturday, March the 10th, 2018. Oh, about said 17, because we have a great guest with us today. He just got done speaking at the annual FDR breakfast that we have here in Marion for Democrats. He is currently running for governor in the state of Ohio in the Democratic primary. He was a justice on the Ohio Supreme Court, Justice Bill O'Neill. Justice O'Neill, it is such a pleasure to have you here in the studio.
I'm glad to be here.
Justice O'Neill, the conversation this morning at the FDR breakfast, which I was able to attend, focused in on legalizing marijuana. Has that become a big part of your campaign?
I don't know if I'll call it big, but it's certainly a centerpiece. I've got an 8-point program. I'm the only one running for governor who's willing to put out 8 points and publish them and talk about it. But marijuana's time to be legalized in Ohio is upon us.
What about the people who fear it's a gateway drug, who fear that it will be all over if it's legal, that people who are law-abiding citizens will now partake in it and it will impair them? What do you say to that group?
Well, let's start with the scientific evidence. I'm a registered nurse. I work in a pediatric emergency department. There is no evidence that it is a gateway drug to anything, and I have an open mind. I mean, but I've done a lot of research. You know, if people want to say that marijuana is a gateway to heroin, well, I guess they're going to have to include tobacco as a gateway, because everybody who does heroin at one point was smoking cigarettes, or beer is a gateway. I like to go with the scientific evidence. The scientific evidence is that in Colorado and in Washington, where they legalized marijuana, really good things started happening. Number one, the use of heroin went down by 25%. Number two, the number of heroin overdose deaths went down. Number three, it started generating phenomenal dollar amounts of sales taxes that can be put to good use. So, no, I am an advocate for legalizing marijuana now.
In Ohio, it's very interesting. We obviously have laws against driving drunk.
Yes.
We've even now have laws about texting while driving.
Good idea.
Do you think marijuana impairs you to the point where you would not be able, to get behind the wheel of a car?
Very well may be true, and that's why I'm suggesting when we legalize marijuana, we form a Ohio Department of Marijuana Control. They can come up with testing, they can regulate it the same way they do drugs and alcohol. And I'm somewhat unique in this area that, you know, I was on a team. I'm retired from the Ohio National Guard as a lieutenant colonel. I was on a team that tested people for marijuana and cocaine ingestion, and I'm talking about people in very dangerous jobs. The testing is out there, same as there's testing for alcohol. So yeah, no, I'm absolutely aware that, you know, people are saying, oh my gosh, legalize marijuana and bad things are going to happen. Well, bad things happen all the time that we can prevent.
You said something this morning that I found interesting. You talked about self-funding campaigns in the past.
Yes.
There is a lot of talk about once somebody gives you money, they want a favor. In your governor's race, has anybody given you money who's going to ask for a favor if you become governor?
Well, let's start with no favors have been asked, because I'm not the governor yet. And I think that's a great question you got. For example, I have a committee within my committee that if any PAC money comes in, I'm very leery of PAC money, but and so we're going to inspect and see why are people funding us. And that gets to, you know, as everybody knows, when I ran for the Supreme Court of Ohio, I ran on no money from nobody, took no contributions. I won the primary in 87 out of 88 counties. I went on to beat an incumbent who had $2 million to spend. And I did it on messages and ideas and integrity. So money is in politics. But let me just say, money isn't necessarily by itself evil. And here's what made me think about it for a while. About 2 weeks ago, I was looking at a past campaign that when I ran for Congress, and I saw the Ohio Federation of Teachers had given me $10,000 from their PAC. Now, it would be insulting for me to take that money back or send it back and say that's evil money. No, it's not evil money. It's teachers getting together and supporting O'Neill. So it worked.
Because of what happened in Florida, a lot of talk about gun laws. Our governor now has a plan out. Our president has a plan out. People are worried about NRA money in elections.
Sure.
Governor is a powerful position. Would you take money from the NRA, or have you?
It's never been offered. Let's start with that. Okay. And however, the one time they raided me as a D, as in dog. So I don't think I have to worry about the NRA coming to find me. I probably reduced my chances with them further this week when I did a little research that I think every one of your listeners will identify with, and I've got some shocking news for them. I live in a town of 4,000 people, and I went to see the chief of police, who just retired, dear friend of mine. And I said, "Chief, how many assault weapons are in this town of 4,000 people?" And he said to me, "I have no idea." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he says, "No, there's federal registry, but there's no state registry." And it was just poignant to me, because I'm thinking, police officers go in on domestic violence. They have an absolute right to know if the person in that house has an assault weapon. Absolute right. So my plan, I think, is pretty simple. The Second Amendment clearly gives you the right to own weapons. I understand that. But it also gives the rest of us the right to reasonable regulation of those weapons. And the first one that I propose, and I don't claim to be a genius, first one I propose is, if you want to have an assault weapon in Ohio, you must take it down to your local chief of police and purchase a one-year permit. Long as you are a law-abiding citizen, I have no problem with you having a sport weapon.
This comes to the front runner in the Democratic primary, Rich Cordray.
Who's that?
Yeah, I know. Rich Cordray, as far as we know, if you believe polls, and we're all a little leery of those now.
And I do not.
And, that's okay. You told me the other night in Toledo that he had an A rating from the NRA.
Yeah.
Do you know that he has taken money from the NRA?
I do not. However, there's all kinds of different issues there, because there's somebody called Buckeye Firearms, and I've looked just briefly. The reason to be in the race is to win and to change Ohio. There's only two people in this race as Democrats who have run statewide. It would be me, who ran in 12 and won, and it would be Rich Cordray, who ran in 10 with the backing of Buckeye Firearms and the NRA against Mike DeWine, and he lost. That's why I believe this is an important primary. The voters have got to take a long, hard look and ask themselves, who can win? I would even expand this to 2 years ago. Ted Strickland is a dear friend of mine. They shut down the primary for Ted Strickland, and he lost badly. Ted needed an open primary, and that's why I'm advocating right now. Let's have an open primary. Let's put all the cards on the table. Let the voters decide who the Democratic nominee is going to be.
Do you believe it's not an open primary?
Absolutely.
David Pepper.
Yes, my friend.
Your friend, David Pepper, who's been on many times, has said they will not endorse anybody till the primary's over. They have not funneled any money into anybody's campaign. Mm-hmm. Why is it not a fair primary?
David Pepper prohibited me from being in the first two so-called debates. That was when I was a justice on the Ohio Supreme Court. And he says, "I don't think it's legal for you to be doing what you're doing." That's just sheer nonsense. And David Pepper arranged for Richard Cordray to talk to all 88 county chairs. Big privilege in a primary. I think David Pepper's fingerprints are all over the AFL-CIO making endorsements without doing any screenings. No, it's they're trying to close the primary, but the one thing I have going for me right now is Dennis Kucinich is in here now, and I'm in here now, and Joe Schiavone's in here. They can't close this primary. The people want to know where are the four of you on issues, and you've just hit a hot button. Rich Cordray has an A rating from the NRA. You cannot be the Democratic nominee for governor with an A rating, so he'd better do something about that.
For those who did not see or hear the debate this past week, you hit Cordray pretty hard.
He's my friend. He's my friend, but he's got some explaining to do.
I'm paraphrasing here what you said. You called him Prince Richard.
Yes.
Said this was a coronation.
It is.
I suspect he's not happy with you at this moment.
Oh, no. I spent probably 20 minutes in the hallway with Rich after the after the debate. We're friends.
And all was well.
We've always been friends. Rich was a big shot in the Attorney General's office when I was a worker ant. And, no, I like Rich Cordray. Here's the bottom line. I like Rich Cordray, and I think he would make a great governor of Ohio. No question about that. Strange thing to say about your opponent, I understand. The problem is he can't win.
Why can't he win?
He won't take a position on anything. He's being handled and managed by the people in Washington, and they're funneling millions of dollars to him. And he and I had a conversation a couple months ago when I told him, you've been gone a long time. You may not understand a few things in Ohio. And I told him, Rich, my friend, if you don't embrace the opioid crisis that's going on in Ohio, and by embrace, I mean open up state mental hospitals to treat these poor souls and save 5,000 lives a year. If you don't do that, you're going to lose. And he just told me, he says, I'm not going to do that. So I said, okay, let's try it another way. I said, Rich, if you don't advocate openly legalizing marijuana to pay for the O'Neill network of hospitals, you're going to lose. And I told him that to his face. He says, I'm not going to do that. I said, well, let me try one more time. I said, if you don't advocate releasing the nonviolent prisoners that we have in Ohio that we're paying $100 million a year to keep them in prison, you're going to lose. Now, I'm allowed to say that to him as my friend because we've been friends for 20 years. He says, I'm not going to do that. And I just had to tell him, three strikes, you're out, I'm in.
Dennis Kucinich is a wild card here. There are other people besides yourself and Mr. Cordray in the primary here. Kucinich got in late. What do you make of Dennis Kucinich?
Dennis Kucinich has been my friend for at least 20 years. I like him. I admire him. Unlike what I say about Rich, I'm not sure of Dennis's ability to lead an organization the size of the state of Ohio. I think if you want to be the governor of Ohio, you need to learn to speak with precision. The last time I looked, I think Dennis has advocated 36 major ideas he's going to implement on his first day in office. I love him dearly, but he does not have, in my opinion, the focus it needs to be the governor, which I have. And, you know, and my training makes me head and shoulders above Dennis. You know, I'm a retired lieutenant colonel in the United States Army. Army officers anticipate trouble and come up with plans beforehand. I'm a registered nurse. We assess things before we shoot our mouth off about what we're going to do. You know, and more importantly, I'm a retired Supreme Court justice. We have to think things through pretty carefully before we put pen to paper. I'm ready to lead.
There are some important issues we need to get into here. $15 minimum wage is one of them.
That's a great issue.
Before we do, on experience, on what can be done, I want to go back to the two issues that we started out here with. One being gun control in Ohio.
Yes.
Do you own a firearm?
I do not.
You do not.
Now, however, that carries at least a small story with it. Cool. I'm a certified expert marksman by the United States Army, but I've never owned a gun.
Why is that?
I don't like guns.
And why is that?
I have boys that I've raised that never had a toy gun. I just don't like them. I don't like guns.
And the other question, with the legalization of marijuana, have you ever used marijuana? The Bill Clinton question.
And Bill Clinton blew the answer. There's no question about it.
Let's see what your answer is today.
Yes. In my youth, and I had a pretty wild youth, I tried marijuana. I came from the 60s at Ohio University. That I think speaks for itself. But in the early 70s, I was an Army officer. You would never find an Army officer smoking anything because that's the end of your career. So I didn't do that, but I'm going to say 71 till I met my wife. Pretty wild life, but I tried marijuana, I'm going to guess, 3 times. Didn't like it. I dramatically prefer Budweiser.
Okay. There is a $15 minimum wage. This is important. This was the Bernie Sanders plan in the presidential election. A lot of young people like this. How do we do this without causing the price of goods to go up as well? We don't want a $3 loaf of bread.
I agree.
So how do we do it?
If you take, it's not surprising the young people listen to it, but it's the older people, too, that are in entry-level jobs. We have an entire class of people who work full-time and cannot afford to put a roof over their children's head. So then, therefore, they have to work 2 jobs to pay for the roof, and they're not in their children's life. It's an embarrassment to all of us. I say that if you take an entry-level worker, fast food or factory, you give them $15 an hour today as a minimum wage. On Saturday, they will go out and buy a Jeep that's built in Toledo. It will stimulate the economy. On the next Saturday, they'll probably start shopping for a reasonable place to live. Maybe they'll build a house. On the following Saturday, they may think about starting a family. There's just no reason in America, and what I told a restaurant owner that told me, you know, I'm gonna ruin America, I said, guess what? My $15 an hour worker will come into your restaurant on Saturday night, may bring her friend or his friend, I don't care who they are. If you have to raise the cost of a burger from $8 a burger to $9, they don't care because they can't afford the $8 burger with what you're paying them now.
Now, taxes go up as well with this, do they not?
Oh, it generates taxes. Heck, I got a bunch of them in my family. All minimum wage workers today, you know, that are making, what, $8.75? I think that's where we're at right now. It's below $9. Pay no taxes. They don't pay any taxes. Give them $15 an hour, they're going to be paying taxes. It will stimulate the economy. It will generate jobs.
Our Governor Kasich, for a few more months, made an interesting statement late last year when President Trump was talking about his border wall and getting rid of the immigrants. He said, send the illegal immigrants to Ohio. That's what Governor Kasich said. Send the immigrants to Ohio. Are you with Governor Kasich on that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The people in Washington that are using immigration as a soundbite should be ashamed of themselves. And I'll tell you the example that stands out in my mind. In addition to being a registered nurse, I've been a travel nurse. I did an assignment at Nationwide Children's in Columbus back during the flu epidemic. And that's where I learned met the Somali population that's in Columbus, Ohio, that was brought from the terror of war to Columbus, Ohio, by the church community. Those are tax-paying working members of our society. Absolutely. You know, my driver Joe and I were driving to Toledo the other day, and we go across that flatlands of Ohio, I call it. It's the tomato capital of the world, right? That's what Northwest Ohio is. I said, how could we possibly say we couldn't absorb immigrants anywhere? Drop them in the middle of a 1,000-acre cornfield, and next thing you know, you're going to have a community that'll have churches, it'll have restaurants, it'll have schools, it'll have jobs. Of course America can absorb immigrants. You know, let's not be trite about it, but we're all immigrants. Unless you're a Native American, we're all immigrants. And for us to just suggest that, okay, we're here, shut the doors, that's wrong. It's wrong.
You made some news this past week by announcing, as a Democrat, that you are pro-life.
Sure. I actually responded to a question. It's not a campaign issue.
Not a campaign issue.
It is a way I lead my life.
How did you get to that conclusion?
Well, fortunately, as a man, I'll never have to make that decision. And fortunately, as a judge, I happen to know for a fact that the Supreme Court has resolved this matter. The law of the land is that abortions are legal. I'm a judge. I live by the rule of law. What I have said and what I do say, I believe that the better alternative to a unwanted pregnancy is adoption, education, and contraception.
Do you think this will hurt you with women in a Democratic primary?
Some women, sure. There's a very, very active group of women in the Democratic Party who are just horrified that I would be honest with them and say that I'm pro-life. But there's also a very large number of women in the Democratic Party who are reaching out to me as we speak and saying, finally, someone who is able to say two things. They're pro-life, and it's their personal position, and that they will follow the law. I think I'm proud of my position, and if it costs me some voters, that's fine. But we'll see where this goes.
As you said, you don't believe in the polls. What do you think?
What do you mean? If I believed in the polls, Donald Trump wouldn't be the president of the United States. Every poll in the world said he was losing.
That's true. That's true. So in your opinion, as you go across this state,
sure,
with less than 60 days till the primary.
Well, it's just beginning.
What do you think it is? Where do you think the voters are?
I know where they are. I know where they are. And anybody that's got any honesty knows where they are. Richard Cordray has got the organized Democrats that have lost every statewide race for time immemorial. He's welcome to have those people. Joe Schiavone has got the Mahoning Valley, and he's got a good intro into labor, even though they double-crossed him this week. Dennis Kucinich will always have a large group of far-left believers. I mean, he travels with 50 people wherever he shows up. He's a great campaigner. I am a Supreme Court justice, registered nurse, retired Army colonel who believes that we should legalize marijuana. What I just told you is everybody's probably got 25% walking onto the stage, each of the four of us. The question is, who's going to be the most effective in getting their message out? And I welcome you saying it's 2 months out. I've been in Democratic politics for a long time. Long time. 2 months out is a lifetime.
How do you do this in 2 months? How do you take your 25% and make it the majority?
Oh, I've got a brilliant plan. You go to Marion, Ohio, and you schedule a radio interview. You talk to the FDR meeting. You have a clear message. I welcome you and your viewers to ask themselves, even go on the websites. imoneilforgovernor.org, right? Go on to all the four websites and see if there's any candidate other than me that's got an 8-point plan. Take it or leave it is what I say. You know, I've staked out what I believe, and no one else is doing that, and that's nuts. How do you intend to get a message out if you keep it to yourself? So that's number one. Number two, everybody says, oh my gosh, you did no money from nobody. You're an idiot. You can't do it. Guess what? I won the last time I did that, and I know now I'm in the governor's race. I got to raise money, and we're doing really well.
Politics has become an interesting game. You referenced the 2016 election. A lot of money spent, a lot of dirty tricks. Is there anything you're afraid? Is there anything you haven't talked about that would come out about you?
Oh, no. No. No, I've been in public office way too long. Everybody knows just about all they want to know about me. And I'm like you. I'm like the rest of the world. I've made mistakes in life. But what I think makes me stand out from the rest of the world is I live a life of when you're wrong, you promptly admit it and you move on. I see people dwelling in issues that mean nothing from nothing. For example, I will freely admit Richard Cordray can shed his NRA A rating this afternoon by coming out and joining the O'Neill plan and saying, hey, at a minimum, if the Second Amendment gives an individual the right to own an assault weapon, and I accept that it does, I believe the Second Amendment gives me the right to know that my chief of police knows where it is. So That's what I'm saying. This race has got a long way to go, and we got some hot buttons. I mean, obviously, I'm spending this week talking about pro-choice, pro-life. That's not my issue. My issue is saving 5,000 lives, building a hospital network, shutting down for-profit prisons, saving money, and just while you're at it, legalize marijuana so we don't raise any taxes. And don't forget, we're in Marion County here. This is a wonderful agricultural county, right? Do you have any idea what a cash crop marijuana and hemp are? We're talking about world-class sales of a product that has been shown, the Cannabis Institute has shown, our soil loves marijuana and hemp. We could have jobs and money.
Well, I tell you, it's interesting because we have, as Ohioans, legalized marijuana now.
No, we haven't. No, we haven't.
We haven't done medical.
No, we haven't.
We haven't.
The legislature's doing a dog and pony show, and the governor is doing a slow walk. That happened a year ago. Kids are doing 20 seizures a day in the hospital. They can't have medical marijuana today. It's disgraceful what the Kasich administration has permitted to happen there.
Well, I bring this up for this reason, because there was talk of a dispensary coming to Marion.
Sure.
And city council really could not approve this.
The one up in Huber Heights was under construction when they decided they couldn't do it.
Well, but in a lot of Ohio, even medical marijuana has a bad connotation to people.
And I think the liquor and the tobacco industries have seen to it that that happens. There's just, as I said before, we regulate and tax alcohol. Why don't we regulate and tax marijuana that, as we said earlier, I don't care for it myself, but if people want to do it, I just don't see the amount of money and talent that we're wasting on this so-called war on drugs. It's just, it's not working.
I think something interesting is, I think that here's where a lot of the fear is based. I think it is that, I certainly think there's a market for medical marijuana.
Yes.
And there might even be a market for recreational marijuana.
Yes.
But they're afraid the big companies will take these crops and just get rich off of the poor people who use it.
Oh, that's not the way I see it at all.
Well, how do you prevent
that? No. I want to make sure I'm clear here. When I say that marijuana should be legal, I had a father-in-law in Upper Arlington, Ohio, who made his own batch of wine in his basement, and he had tubes, and he had vats, and he had a hobby. I'm saying that everybody in Ohio should have the right to go over to Home Depot and buy a storage shed, 10 by 15, whatever, get yourself some blue lights, and at night you can go out and cultivate your marijuana plants, snip them, crush them, boil them. I don't know what they do with them, but at the end of the day, close the door and lock it. So I'm talking about adults, someone over 21. Should they have the right to grow their own marijuana and own it and smoke it? Of course they should.
But I think one of the issues becomes alcohol. You have to go to the state liquor store to
yes.
get certain types of alcohol.
Yep.
So what happens when person B doesn't want to grow it, doesn't own their property, but wants to use it recreationally?
Sure.
So now they have to buy it from person A, mm-hmm. or a store starts
right, well,
to carry it.
Yeah, but right now they're buying it from organized crime in Colombia. That's who they're currently buying it from, and they're not paying any taxes. So I'm saying, of course, my threshold would be if you sell it, you're going to be regulated by the state, and that also will have the ability of increasing the safety, because we've got these synthetic drugs that are coming into Ohio now, fentanyl and stuff like that. No, I think rather than pretending it's not happening right now, we need to regulate it, because it's going to happen. You're not going to stop a marijuana smoker from smoking. I think we learned that in the prohibition era. It's just, we're on a fool's errand and we ought to stop.
Why do you think it's taken so long? It didn't take this long with alcohol. It didn't take this long with cigarettes or cigars or anything like
well,
that.
Well,
tobacco.
The people who should know better made a terrible mistake in 2015. They tried to legalize marijuana in Ohio. The polling, if you'll accept that polling, showed that full 60% of Ohioans said that's a great idea, right? But then they said, and by the way, we're going to make 10 billionaires, and they're the only ones that can grow and sell. And the people of Ohio reeled back and said, that's not what we're doing. And those are good people. They made a mistake. I think you're going to hear from them again. I think they'll try and do it. I don't know if it'll be this year, but they're going to try.
I want to talk a little bit about the Republican side, because if you do win the Democratic primary, you do have to face one of the two Republican candidates. And we'll start with the lieutenant governor. What do you make of Mary Taylor?
I like Mary Taylor. She's a CPA. She's a good public servant. Done a good job. I'm a little confused by Mary Taylor, because she says that she's got John Kasich's backing and blessing. And then she says, we haven't spoken in a year. And I'm wondering how you run the state of Ohio with the governor and lieutenant governor not speaking for a year. Don't you think that's a bit odd?
I don't know how that's going.
I don't either.
The person they say is the front runner, and who the Republican Party has openly threw their support behind, Attorney General Mike DeWine.
Good friend of mine. Served with his son in the Supreme Court. Pat DeWine. Good guy. I like the DeWines.
Would he make a good governor?
No.
Why not?
Absolutely not. He's got a long record of failing to address the real issues in Ohio. I'm just appalled with him coming up and suggesting that he's got ideas about education. My God, you've been the Attorney General. You've been the Attorney General of Ohio for 8 years. We have an illegal school funding system that you've done nothing about. So he's going to be wrong on education. He's clearly going to be wrong on marijuana. You know, he's going to be wrong on solar. I look forward to running against Mike DeWine because he is an honorable man. I like him. I've known him for 30 years. He's not going to win.
Tell me about 1974 and John Glenn.
Oh, that was the Children's Crusade.
Yeah.
I was 2 years back from Vietnam, and I was a union organizer, and we're sitting around the pewter mug in Columbus, and I think it was John Kelly came up and he says, did you know that the lieutenant governor of Ohio is the Commodore of the Ohio Navy? I said, I didn't know we had a Navy, but that sounds like fun. He says, you should run. Your name is O'Neill. So my sister Patricia Satcha from Alliance and Frank, her husband, gave me a Winnebago. We filled it up with young people and Budweiser, and we went out and saw 55 counties, and it was a great race because it was a 9-way primary. I came in third. And raised some real issues, because that was during the energy crisis of 74. It was probably an improvident entry into Ohio politics. For example, everybody says, how are you going to win this primary? And I have to say to them, I've never lost a statewide primary, ever. But I have to put the caveat in. Dick Celeste beat me in 74.
When you look at Ohio is very important nationally, politically. Right now, the country's in an interesting place. The other night, I found an interesting question in the debate to be, if Hillary Clinton offered to come campaign for you, would you want her to come campaign for you?
Absolutely. Hillary's the former Democratic nominee for president of the United States. Hillary, in my mind, though, stands for the proposition of why the Ohio Democratic Party, in my opinion, hasn't learned anything from her race. The facts are clear that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote in the United States of America, and she lost Ohio by 8 points. I lay that at the feet of the Ohio Democratic Party because they didn't do their job, and what they're doing right now is a rerun. I am Bernie Sanders. Let's just be honest about that. They pretended that they were giving Bernie a fair shake when they were sabotaging him at every opportunity they had. I like to say that I'm a real Democrat because I was a Bernie supporter in the primary. I sent him money. I, you know, texted for him, stuff like that. But when Hillary won, I became a Hillary supporter because I'm a Democrat, and she was our nominee. You know, she was not the nominee of my choice, but, you know, you're either a team player or you're not.
And if you don't get the nomination, obviously you will be for the Democratic nominee.
That's a very cool thing that I'm in the middle of right now. I admire and like and am friends with everybody on that stage. Joe Schiavone would make a great governor. Rich Cordray would make a great governor. Dennis would be different, but I think he'd be a No, I can't say he's going to be a great governor. He's my friend, and yes, of course I'd support him because he's got some great ideas. He just has too many of them is the problem.
You said Mike DeWine can't win and Rich Cordray can't win.
That is correct, and I'm going to beat both of them.
Okay, but if that's the race that we get, because that's what people think right now,
sure.
Who wins that race?
Rich Cordray.
Rich Cordray.
Oh, no question.
So he can win.
Oh, no, of course.
He just can't win the primary.
That's correct.
I gotcha. But he could win the general.
Well, he'd have me inside his cabinet because, as I say, we're friends. I'd be molding his policy with him because he's an open guy. He's an intelligent guy. He needs to get out of the Washington mentality of carefully studying every issue before you make a decision. That's where I celebrate the fact that we still have 2 months to go. You know, my candidacy is only 6 weeks old. You know, I honored my pledge to the Supreme Court of Ohio. I didn't raise any money and I didn't circulate petitions. I did not get county committees together. And now I have the largest field staff in the state of Ohio.
What made you get in this race?
5,000 people dying a year. I couldn't walk away. It's like you're on the sidewalk and you look down the alley and there's a mugging going on and you have a choice. You either get in there and make a difference or you walk away. I cannot walk away. You know, the image that comes to my mind, and I don't want to be maudlin about this, but last summer we were at Kelly's Island with, I think, 40 of my closest family members for my birthday. We were out on the lawn. And 10-year-old Luke, my nephew, was doing balls and strikes with his father, and I was the umpire, and it could have been the last game of the World Series. It was just, next thing you know, we had 40 people watching us, family life on the lake. Next day, I saw a picture of two people that died of an overdose. And the picture, I'm sure you saw it, was the two kids in the car seat. They will never know. They will never know Kelly's Island in a family event. That's why I'm in this race.
This has been covered before, but I just want to bring it up for this purpose. Last fall, you made the statement through social media that you had had sexual relationships with 50 women. Once and for all, why did you do that?
I was angry and foolish. It was the wrong thing to do, but I was angry about the way Al Franken was being treated. I learned about social media. I learned about words matter. I immediately apologized. I said, that's inappropriate. You know, I'd hurt the family members. I'd hurt the women that, by the way, I've represented my whole life. I'm a civil rights lawyer. I used to prosecute sexual harassment cases. But I was wrong, and I think it is a learning lesson not only for me, but all politicians in America. The standard to be met, when you're wrong, you promptly admit it. And that's what I did.
Do you think this will come back to haunt you? Because it was a big story at the time.
Yeah, it involved sex and an elected official, so it was a big story. Don't forget, if you ever go behind the story, you know, I was a happily married man for 10 years, loyal to my wife. You know, we're talking about what happened in my youth, which I don't think anybody would really want that spotlight. So, yes, there are people in social media that will not let it go. Rather than talking about saving 5,000 lives, they'd much rather talk about the consensual relationships I had with women. It's none of their business.
I don't want to talk so much about this, but I want to talk about
I'm open.
No, I understand, but I want to talk about this part of it because I think one of the issues in a Democratic primary is, in a year of the Me Too movement, mm-hmm. is that when you say you're pro-life, And that was just the answer to a question, and I understand that, not a campaign.
No, it's a lifestyle.
But it's a lifestyle, absolutely, okay. And you say this comment, which sure. was before the announcement of the campaign, that sticks with women, I think. What do you think?
Oh, there's activist women out there right now who now are trying to tag me with the term misogynist. I don't even know misogynist. 5 years ago, anybody ever heard that word? I'm not a misogynist. I'm a proud papa of 4 kids. I'm a civil rights lawyer, and I guess this is going to be a nice test for everybody. I had a distinguished career in the Army. I had a distinguished career as a judge. You know, I have a distinguished career as a pediatric emergency room nurse. If people do not want to judge me on those issues, but would prefer to look at a stupid Facebook post for which I have apologized, have at it.
8 minutes left, and there are a few areas I definitely want to touch here. The first one is, you know, from even men on this issue, and then we're going to move away from the 50 women issue. But I have heard men say it was pompous. It was arrogant.
I'll agree with them.
You'll agree with them?
Of course. But I'm not going to defend the comment.
But are you, for people who don't know you, I get the pleasure to know you.
Sure.
Are you, for those people who don't, would you consider yourself pompous and arrogant?
Absolutely not. I'm a humble man, and let's talk about it. I've been a judge for 15 years, and nobody's ever heard of me. Why? Because I get up in the morning, I do a workmanlike job, and I do my job, and I go home to my family.
And we're going to move away from that, as I said we would, because the issues are what's important here. At the FDR breakfast this morning, Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States, you called her the First Lady of the Ohio Democratic Party.
No question about it. What a thrill to see her.
She was here yesterday with us.
Get out of here.
On the air. She comes in a lot.
You took in Mary Ellen before me?
We love Mary Ellen here.
I do, too.
Mary Ellen has endorsed and this morning spoke on behalf of Rich Cordray.
Sure.
I would think that helps him.
Oh, no question. Mary Ellen is Richard's treasurer.
Yes.
Before he even announced, he solicited her. Mary Ellen is well within the establishment of the Ohio Democratic Party. You know, of course I'd love to have her endorsement, but I know she's with Rich, and we've got a picture of her with me on my Facebook already as we speak.
Beautiful.
Because she is the First Lady of the Ohio Democratic Party. Always will be.
How could anybody deny her?
I have my driver computer genius Joe is with me, and he's taken a year off Youngstown State. It was a thrill today to introduce Joe at 20 years old to Mary Ellen and said, "This is the lady whose signature is on the dollar bill." What a thrill.
Guinness Book of World Records signed more currency than anybody else. And we have a picture of her with John Glenn right up here on the wall.
My other hero.
She's a wonderful lady.
And I campaigned with John in 74 for a year.
Mary Ellen gave us that, and anybody can stop by the studio and see that anytime they like. And she has a museum here in Marion. We're doing it for Mary Ellen today.
Well, wait, you're missing something. Annie's
in that picture
in
as
that
well.
Picture.
She is.
She's a hero.
Have you ever been to Mary Ellen's museum?
I have not.
It's here in Marion. You ought to stop by.
Okay.
But Ted Strickland was on this show a month ago. He endorses Rich Cordray. How do you win over the Mary Ellen Withrows and the Ted Stricklands, if I can get it out, if you become the nominee?
Oh, if I become the nominee, how do I
how do you win them over now? How do you?
Oh no! Before the nomination, they're locked in. That is old world, old Democratic politics, machine politics. I think if 2016 taught us anything, and you mentioned Ted and I ran together in 06. When my son, the veteran, was injured, Ted Strickland was the first one to call me. I love him like a brother. The Ohio Democratic Party ruined his Senate race last year by shutting down the primary. There was a bright young man from Cincinnati, P.G. Sittenfeld, had ideas. He looks like a young John Kennedy. He was just a great candidate. The Ohio Democratic Party made a decision. No primary. Ted was deprived of the opportunity to go out and perfect his campaign skills and his message. Ted desperately needed a primary. In 16, the Ohio Democratic Party said no, and he lost.
This election, this primary, has been of particular interest to us here in Marion because our mayor was Connie Pillich's running mate until she got out.
I just had breakfast with your mayor.
I saw you talking
to
the mayor.
And as you know, I'm a contributor to Connie Pillich while your mayor was the candidate.
Absolutely.
I gave them money. I love them both.
So our mayor, in a governorship, Justice O'Neill governorship, would there be a place for our mayor?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I just asked him this morning, what do you want to do?
Really?
I did. I asked, no, your mayor's a friend of mine.
Now, do you think he'll run?
I talked to Connie for a half an hour after she dropped out, which will remain a history for the ages. When you're in an eight-way primary and there's one woman and she's got $1 million in the bank, why do you drop out 4 days after filing your petitions? I called your mayor right after that. He was devastated. That was his opportunity to really make a difference in the state of Ohio. But more importantly, your local banker, Carl Hughes, the president of the Marion Bank, He pushed me together with your mayor a full year ago. We met before I chose my running mate. I was very impressed with your mayor.
We have not had a chance to have the mayor on since all this happened with Pillage. But do you think he's up for re-election next year? Do you think he'll run again?
Your mayor?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Next year? What's next year?
Well, if you're the governor, he'll be working for you, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So well, I can't say that.
You'll make the offer.
Well, I'll not only make the offer, but state government is big, and there's a lot of opportunities for people with ideas to make a difference from the old way of thinking. And then that's what caught my attention about your mayor a full year ago. I said, my goodness, this is an up-and-coming young guy that the one quality I noticed in him, not afraid to say what's on his mind.
Where would you see him in a governorship of Justice O'Neill?
Oh, nowhere. I can't say yet.
You can't say yet.
No, I said to the mayor,
there'd be something.
I said, absolutely, mayor. I said, if I'm the governor, you're going to be with me. I have no idea how, but we're going to do something.
What people like about you is you're plain spoken. I haven't seen you with notes
I don't need notes.
You don't need notes?
When you speak the truth, you don't need notes.
Okay. So anything you tell us is the truth.
Absolutely.
So that
I'm a former reporter for Channel 4 in Columbus.
Well, you'll find work there. If you become governor, you'll find work there.
I was ready for your questions this morning, sir, and you're good at what you do.
Well, I appreciate that. So it leads us to this question. What don't we know about you? Everything has been, the women, the pro-life, the life you've led, what don't we know? There's got to be something.
I was the president of a go-kart association at 12 years old. Let me think. That's probably not exciting.
No, we need something in the political career. What don't we know? What is something we would say, boy, I didn't know that about Justice O'Neill?
I collect Cadillac Elantes.
Oh, okay.
Old people will appreciate that. Young people will say, what the heck is a Cadillac Elante? That is an Italian Cadillac two-seater. I've been collecting them for probably 10 years now. I've owned 10 of them. I only have them one at a time. I buy them on the internet, I fix them up, and I sell them.
Any regrets in your life?
I have lots of regrets in my life.
You have a big one?
No.
Not a big one.
Little
ones?
You mean like a road less traveled?
Yeah, you wish you'd have done something.
That you missed a turn. Yeah. Oh, absolutely not. I live a life of immense gratitude. That's what goes back to that first question I told you. I started out as a dishwasher. I came from a working class family at a time when a family could put three kids through Ohio University at the same time. And that's one of our issues here. This $25,000 net or nut at Ohio University in Miami and everywhere else, gotta go.
There is something I want to touch on in our last 3 minutes. It has nothing to do with politics, but something you brought up this morning, and I think there are people who have loss in their life, and it's hard. Sometimes they don't get through it. Your wife was taken from you in an auto accident.
Sure.
How do you get through it? Do you ever get over it?
Oh, no, you never get over it, but you accommodate. You know, I got three great kids, one day at a time, the former mayor of Parma just had that happen to him, Dean DePiro. I never miss the opportunity to, recently, when we're in a large group of people, I go up and give him a hug and I say, Mayor, tomorrow will be better than today.
You have had some dates since. Why did you never remarry?
I was real close at one point, but unfortunately, with a large gaggle of kids, it's pretty hard to get somebody to accommodate to your lifestyle. Now, I'm pretty open about that. I date, not married.
Well, I would think it'd be the first governor of Ohio who would not have a first lady of Ohio.
Really?
Is that right? We'll have to check it, but it's certainly been a long time since that's happened.
Boy, I hope that's not a disqualifying factor.
No, I don't think so at all. Would you live in the governor? I hear the governor's mansion's been empty for 8 years. Would you live in the governor's mansion?
You know, I've never been inside it. I have no idea what it's all about.
I don't know if Kasich
has either. I do know I did a photo shoot last Saturday inside the State House, and we were at the door of the governor's office, and I thought, I used to be a union organizer down here. I was here when 10,000 people were at that door. The governor's office in the bottom of the State House has to become a gathering area for people and ideas. And yeah, I'll live in the governor's office. I mean, a mansion, I guess.
Is it there?
It's in Bexley.
That's right. It's there. Quick summing up questions. So give me 30 seconds here on each of these. John Kasich, 8 years of John Kasich.
courageous on Medicaid.
President Trump.
He's the president.
President Obama.
A wonderful human being that could have and should have gotten more done in 8 years.
Joe Biden.
I love him dearly. I wear his cufflinks.
Bernie Sanders.
Love him dearly. I supported him in the primary. But more importantly, he's revolutionizing the way we way we select candidates in open primaries.
Hillary Clinton.
I like her. I like her. I think she blew the opportunity. The problem that what I learned from Hillary is she had no message in 16. There was no reason for people to come out and vote for her, and that's particularly for the Bernie people. You have to stand for something, or there's no reason for somebody to come to the polls.
Russian investigation.
Should go forward with all deliberate speed.
Do you think President Trump had something to do with it?
I genuinely have no opinion on that.
Okay.
By the way, I'm a judge.
Well, that's what
No,
well,
I'm
you
serious.
Can't do it.
It's not only I can't.
You can't?
It's a discipline. It's a discipline. A judge waits until he hears all the evidence, and then he forms an opinion.
So you will have an opinion at some point.
Oh, I look forward to it.
I understand. Because you came here to the studio and did this for 40 minutes, I cannot thank you enough. Justice O'Neill, he is one of the Democratic primary candidates for governor. And because you came, I am going to let you speak to Marion because we are going to replay this. 60 seconds is yours. Go ahead.
Hey, I think coming to Marion, Ohio on FDR's day is a great, great privilege. I walked into a breakfast setting, and there was the First Lady of Ohio politics. And you know what's interesting about that? She's my opponent's treasurer. I went up and gave her a big hug because we were young together. But the coming to Marion, Ohio, and being on your radio station is how I'm going to win. Because I'm the only candidate in this race that's got 8 planks for people to read and agree or disagree with, and I'm the one that's going to the people. I'm the only person in this race that in the last decade was a statewide office holder as a Democrat. Little known fact people don't realize, I'm the only Democrat elected to the Supreme Court of Ohio in 30 years.
O'NeillForGovernor.org. Do your homework, and you'll be back.
I will. You call, we will come running.
I thank you. Justice O'Neill, thank you for being on the program today. For this, Davis is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
To the society is the Guthrie Country Store at Heritage Hall. And you all should stop by for a visit.